Welcome back to In the Moment. I'm Lori Walsh. The 10th annual Dakota Angler Ice Institute is this Friday through Sunday at the Sioux Falls Arena. The Ice Institute gives ice fishermen an opportunity to see the latest in the ice fishing industry, also to learn from the experts on how to use the equipment. More than 75 vendors have already registered to be part of this year's show, plus speakers and experts will share information throughout the weekend. We're joined now in the Kirby Family Studio in Sioux Falls by Todd Heitkamp. He's the owner of Dakota Angler in Sioux Falls. Todd, welcome to the program.
Thanks for having me, Lori. Sorry about that.
It's all right. So it's kind of cold out there. And when does the season start? Is this a, sort of a kickoff to getting prepared for an ice fishing season?
Well, we like to think of it as the kickoff to it, but Mother Nature now is kind of helping with that. But obviously, people can't go out and ice fish unless we have ice. So, you know, this opportunity that we have with the Ice Institute gives them a way to kind of scratch that itch, if you will, to go out and actually see everything that's new for the ice fishing season and have that and work with it and play with it before the ice season actually begins. And, that, you know, typically around here, people are starting ice fishing maybe by the first week of December.
Okay, yeah, so you're going through your seed catalog fantasizing about spring gardening, and then you get a little bit sooner, you can figure out what. Is this something that's passed down? Is it, how hard is it to get into ice fishing, to bring new people into ice fishing? Or is it pretty much a family or a friend tradition that you kind of have to go out with somebody else?
Well, all of the above. But honestly, ice fishing is probably the fastest growing sport, especially up here in the Northern Plains, which makes sense. Since we're the coldest and we have the colder winters, and ice fishing is not going to be found, let's say, in Arkansas. It's going to be more up here. But the nice thing about it is that it levels the playing field for everyone. You don't have to have a boat to get out there and go, you know, to catch those fish that you would need in the summertime. So, you know, it levels that playing field. Plus, a person can spend as much as they want to catch that fish. You can use a stick and a line and a bobber and have just as much fun and catch many just as many fish as some of the people that may spend thousands of dollars on it. So, again, it really is for someone that has an interest in learning more about it. And it doesn't take a lot to get involved with ice fishing.
How'd you get your start?
Well, you know, I'm a weather forecaster by trade. That's my full-time job. I grew up fishing, and when I came back to the Sioux Falls area from being a forecaster in Denver, Colorado, I grew up in southwest Minnesota. When I came back here, my two boys were very interested in it, and so that's where we really got going. And then I've had my start with the business 17 years ago, opened that up. And I don't get to go out as fishing as much as I used to with owning the business, but still, again, I think that's one thing that I love about fishing, whether or not it's open water or ice fishing, is it's my one time where I can just kind of relax, get away from everything, listen to, you know, Mother Nature, listen to everything that's going on, and then also be able to pass that sport on to my kids.
Yeah. Tell me about the gear. What's new?
Well, there's, you know, not, you know, this year there's not a lot of stuff out there that's new. There's as always, there's a few new electronics that, again, people can use not only to help them find where the fish are at, but how to catch them a little bit better, but also for their own safety, for GPSs, you know, to know exactly where you're at, so that if you go out there in the ice and all of a sudden it becomes foggy or it starts to snow, you still know how to get off that ice safely. There's also new clothing to keep people warm, and that's really, I think, the biggest advances that we've seen through the years has been with the clothing to really keep people, whether or not it's the wife or the husband or the kids, warmer out there. And then also the safety equipment. We can't emphasize safety enough, and that's the nice thing about our seminars that we'll do out at the Ice Institute, is that really it's going to emphasize on how people can use that equipment, but also how they can be safe out there on the ice as well.
So you're from born in Minnesota originally?
Yes.
Yep. So I was born in Minnesota originally. I have family there still, and every year in Minnesota, the news is who fell through the ice. That seems to be a uniquely Minnesota thing. You don't hear it here as much. So talk more about safety and some of the things that are essential to keep in mind with ice fishing safety.
I think the main thing is that what we tell people is don't push the season. Let Mother Nature run its course. And we recommend at least 3 to 4 inches of ice before anyone walks out on the ice at all. And, you know, the whole thing that people need to remember is that just because you have 3 to 4 inches of ice in one spot doesn't mean you have the same thickness at other locations around there. So we ask people to always have a spud bar or some type of a bar that they can put out in front of them to chip away at the ice to see how really thick that ice is. Also, talk to the local bait shops around the area to find out really what's different about this lake, or have they had any reports of how thick the ice is, and you know, that information can go a long ways. But then the other thing is have the safety equipment. And nowadays, the suits that are available, they have flotation in them so that if you do fall through the ice into the water, those flotation will keep you afloat until rescuers or someone else can get to your location to help you out of there.
I think in Minnesota, they're always driving.
Well, you know,
somebody
that's,
always falls through in their car. What is that? That doesn't make any sense.
You know,
to me.
But yeah, there's no doubt. I mean, there once typically, you know, after the first week of January, on average, it's the ice is thick enough that many people will drive out on the lake. That has been, you know, a tradition since Wisconsin, Minnesota, many, many years ago. But again, that's one of those things where people need to be familiar with that body of water because there may be certain things that make that unique and makes that ice thickness a little bit thinner in certain locations, and you don't want to be driving through that area, driving over that area. So again, common sense, and in sometimes many cases when we're talking about many things, common sense is one of the first things that leads us.
Right. All right, let's talk a little bit about some of the speakers and seminars at the Ice Institute.
Yeah, we have a great list of what we call professors or the people that are going to be providing the seminars at the Ice Institute at the arena this weekend. Brad Hawthorne is coming from Minnesota, as well as Brian Brosdahl. Larry Smith, many people may recognize Larry Smith. He is from Wisconsin and is a host of Larry Smith Outdoors. Dennis Kasubi is one of our own in eastern South Dakota. And then Troy Peterson is coming in from Wisconsin. And then we also have a newbie, what we call our newbie this year, and her name is Nicole Stone. We're seeing a fast number of women becoming involved in ice fishing, and Nicole is one of the new ice fishing professionals that are female out of North Dakota, and it's great to have her in the Institute, as well as Chantel Wickstrup right here in Sioux Falls. She's going to be providing seminars too. So these seminars are not for just the advanced fishermen or the beginning fishermen. Everyone should be able to attend each one of these seminars and pick out little nuggets that they can use throughout the upcoming season.
Tell me a little bit about what some of the vendors and industry professionals are doing to recruit women into the sport.
Well, you know, that's the one thing. It's a good question because many vendors or dealers haven't really tapped into that female market much at all. And many women have always been coming and saying, hey, you know, I'm tired of wearing a men's ice fishing suit. Why don't they make one for a woman? Finally, after about three, 4 years ago, they've started doing that. And that market has continued to increase. I think there's more and more women that would like to go out with their boyfriend or their husband or their family and make it an entire family experience. There's nothing that says fishing is just a male sport. And we need to stop thinking of it. In that manner.
Talk about in South Dakota the places to go. Who's doing this and where is it really popular?
Well, I mean, you find a lake or you're going to find people that are ice fishing, especially, you know, early in the year. They're looking for those fish, but the more common lakes that people go to are like Lake Thompson up by DeSmet, Lake Ponset, which is just north east of that area, and then also East Oakwood and Bitter Lake up in the northeast and Lake Wabe up in the northeastern part of the state. So there's a number of different lakes around. But the main thing is, again, what I encourage people to do is stop by our store at Dakota Angler here in Sioux Falls or any nearby bait shop and ask where the fish are biting. You know, each week we put out a fishing report to try to help people kind of, you know, make the best use of their time when they're out there. We want to make sure that they catch fish, or as much as we possibly can anyway, because again, the more they catch fish, the more they enjoy themselves, the more often they'll go.
How are you compiling that report? Is that from word of mouth?
You know, that's the beauty of things. You know, things haven't changed when it comes to sports. When it comes to fishing and hunting, word of mouth is probably the best method, as well as the most reliable. But social media has also helped as well. But again, with social media, you have to take that with a grain of salt, because sometimes people are putting wrong information out there. And especially when it comes to ice fishing, we don't want wrong information out there, because that could cost someone their life. So the best thing is, what we do is we tap into the network of ice fishermen or people that we know that we trust and get the information from them.
Talk for a moment, if you would, about access to waters. And, you know, we had the whole conversation up here about non-meandering waters and sort of, talk a little about finding a place to fish and doing it responsibly.
Well, I think that's the key word. I always say that we're good stewards of the earth that the good Lord has provided to us. And whether or not we have access to a public water or not, it doesn't matter. We need to take care of it all together at the same time. And I think the sportsmen have gotten a bad rap because of a few bad apples that have really left some garbage behind, which is inexcusable completely. And I think it would just be nice if we could somehow come together to make the landowners as well as the sportsmen be able to sit at the same table and get along like we used to, let's say 15, 20 years ago, because I can see both sides of the argument. And there just needs to be something done to make both parties as happy as they possibly can be.
All right, so give some tips to people to be that responsible, you know, person. What is an ethic of ice fishing?
Well, and the number one is that if you don't know if it's public, make sure you ask someone around there, and you know, ask the farmer or the landowner if you can go on there. If you can't, then you walk away and say, you know, live another day. If once you get access to that body of water, whatever you bring out on that body of water, you take off. You don't leave the garbage behind. You don't leave, you know, fish entrails behind. You bring all that stuff back with you. So that's the whole thing is, again, being responsible, knowing for sure that you're not trespassing, that you have access and you have permission to use that body of water. But then again, you're good stewards by taking everything off. You don't leave any trash behind. And what I've always said, leave it a better place. If you see other trash that's been around you, pick that up as well.
What's essential gear for someone getting started? I know you could, like any activity, you could take it to an extreme and have the most expensive, latest equipment. But what's essential for ice fishing?
Well, the first thing is you got to have something to drill a hole in the ice. Right. So you have to have what we call an auger. You can do a hand auger or a gas-powered or electric auger. You know, that you can spend as much money or little money as you want with that. But then after that, you need to have something to catch the fish, and that's either a rod or what we call a hand over hand stick. You can use that, but again, line, hook, and a bobber or something like that, just to get you through just the necessities. Now, when people come into my store and say, well, hey, I want to get started in ice fishing, hook me up. No pun intended. You know, and I'll say, okay, how much money do you want to spend? Because I don't want people to come into the store and, you know, as much as it sounds stupid for me to say this, I don't want them to come in and spend $2,000 right away and then all of a sudden 6 months down the road say, you know, that was the worst $2,000 I spent. I always say, go into it gently. First, find out if that's something that you'd like to do. And then if you like to do it, if you enjoy it, then just keep adding to the equipment as you go along. So again, the main thing is you need to have something to drill a hole in the ice. Number two, you need to be comfortable. So some warm clothing. And then another thing would be, an ice shelter, an ice shack to keep you warm. And then the last thing would be getting more advanced, like electronics to help you tell you whether or not there's fish down there or not.
Right. So you're more successful.
Yeah, exactly. Right. I think, again, all of our time is so short that all these tools just add a little bit more, help you be a little bit more efficient with your time out there. Instead of looking down that hole all day long, wanting to know if there's fish down there, these electronics will actually tell you.
Right. And dropping your phone in it.
That's exactly right. Making sure there are things that we can help you with that as well. But on that one, I don't know if I could help you with that.
Tell me a good fish story. Tell me some of that. You must hear them all when people come through the shop. Tell me some of the stories that they tell you, the good, the bad, the ugly.
Well, you know, there's all kinds of stories that I could say, but I'm going to tell you a story that my dad told me, and my dad has been passed on since 2010. When we were up fishing in Canada, every summer we take a week vacation with my boys and at that time my dad, and we would be sitting there fishing, and my dad was sitting there just watching my boys catch fish and just sitting back and enjoying it. And he looked back at me and said, you know, Todd, you've really done well. You've raised really two good boys that know how to take care of the environment and to enjoy themselves. And I said, no, you've raised a boy that has learned that from you. So the point of that is, it's a family sport and a family thing that is passed on from generation to generation. And also at the same time, if we stop passing that sport on, that sport could die. And so that's the challenge that we have, is to make sure that other younger people are exposed to fishing, hunting, or some type of outdoor activity.
And there's something about being outside in the winter and doing something that has meaning in the winter as well.
There's no doubt about that.
All right. Final overview of the Ice Institute. What do you want people to know about the dates, the times, the location?
Yeah, the Dakota Angler Ice Institute at the Sioux Falls Arena this weekend, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. Doors open at 3 o'clock on Friday and open again Saturday from 10 to 7, and then 10 to 3 p.m. on Sunday. Admission is $5 to get in the door. You're not going to find any other type of deals anywhere else. As I've always said, the Ice Institute is often imitated, but never duplicated.
Todd Heidkamp, thank you so much for being here with us today. We appreciate your time.
You bet. Thanks, Lori.